Welcome to the Places Where We Go podcast. Hello, I'm Julie.
And I'm Art. Join us as we share our travel stories. We'll tell you about where we've been, what we saw, and what we did. We're always looking for a bit of an adventure.
Sometimes we travel far. Sometimes we explore the places close to our home. Wherever we go, we'll let you know about the highlights and top tips to help you plan your future adventures.
This is the Places Where We Go podcast. Welcome to the Places Where We Go podcast, where today we turn our travel attention to the world of hockey. In a prior episode, we mentioned a visit to Denver, Colorado, which we visited as part of a multi-year bucket list adventure to visit every arena in the National Hockey League. Today's episode, we're going to resume our bucket list journey after the COVID era with a trip to two arenas in the state of Florida. Florida may not be the first place that comes to mind when you think about hockey, but it is home to two amazing teams, the Tampa Bay Lightning and the Florida Panthers.
The idea of creating a bucket list to visit every hockey arena may seem like an ambitious goal, but it is also a rewarding and exciting experience. For diehard hockey fans, there is nothing quite like being able to say that you have been to every NHL arena and witnessed the game in different cities across North America. We started this adventure a few years ago before COVID, and so far have been to arenas for Los Angeles Kings, the Anaheim Ducks, San Jose Sharks, Vegas Golden Knights, Arizona Coyotes, and, as we mentioned, the Colorado Avalanche. We have a lot more places to visit, but we have a good start on our list. Aside from the bragging rights and sense of accomplishment, this pursuit can also bring families closer together. It provides an opportunity for shared experiences and creating lasting memories while enjoying a common interest. Plus, traveling to different cities and exploring new places can be a fun adventure for family members.
So we're going to move on to talk about our latest trip, give you some things to think about if you choose to pursue a sports arena bucket list adventure of your own. You might do it for hockey or basketball or baseball. We've heard of people doing this for different, whatever sport interests you the most. We are hockey fans, so we're going down this road. And on all the prior trips that we've done so far, we've only done one arena per visit. This particular trip, we were able to schedule two arenas on one trip as our team, the Anaheim Ducks, were playing both of the teams in Florida over a three-day weekend. As we watch four small grandchildren during most weeks, we wouldn't be able to leave Los Angeles for this particular trip until late Friday night. So we scheduled ourselves a red-eye flight to Florida. And I think, Julie, I think this was our first red-eye flight ever, yeah?
Yes. Yeah. Well, it was definitely mine.
Yeah. At least in the U.S. I mean, we've had extended flights before, like when we've gone to Europe or we've had to sleep on the plane. But this was one where we left one part of the U.S. late in the evening to arrive on the other side of the country early in the morning. And knowing that we would be arriving early on a Saturday morning, I called our hotel before we left to request an early check-in. And the person I spoke with said that they weren't able to promise this for us, but said they would note my request in their files and do their best. And we will come back to that little story a little bit later.
Oh, my goodness. We left around 10 p.m. from Los Angeles International Airport. We had zero sleep on the plane.
I can't do it.
None of us slept on the plane. Yeah.
None of us traveling.
None of us.
We should also mention this particular trip was not just you and I.
No. This experience that we're going through, we're actually going through with this through our son, who is also a hockey lover. So it becomes a great experience for me because, you know, they're adults and we don't get to spend much time with them. So we get to do this with our middle child, and it's really fun. There was some that slept, though, and We knew this because there was some awfully darn loud snoring behind us.
Yep.
So that didn't make for an easy, restful flight.
At least somebody got some sleep, huh?
Yeah. The flight did have a layover in South Carolina, and we finally arrived in Florida at 7 a.m. their time, somewhat tired because we had not slept.
Upon landing at the airport in Tampa, we easily made our way to the rental car desk, picked up a car for the weekend, and headed into the city. And knowing that we'd have time to kill for the day, we started with a breakfast at a popular spot called Heim's Breakfast House, and with our tummies full, then drove to downtown Tampa. The ride was kind of nice, as part of the journey when we were traveling into the city bordered the water, and lots of water, obviously, in that part of the country. And we made it to downtown Tampa with the intention of dropping off our luggage at the hotel, which was the Hyatt House Tampa Downtown. And this was probably around 11 in the morning, still too early to check in. So with our bags checked in at the hotel, the bags were checked in, we weren't, we set off on foot to see what we could explore nearby the hotel.
Our first stop was the Tampa Riverwalk. We've experienced another Riverwalk, so it was kind of a nice comparison, I thought.
That other one was San Antonio.
Yep. Yes, yep. Very, very different, which makes sense because the waterways are very different. But anyway, I digress. It's a popular destination for tourists in Florida, and it's the number 5 attraction in Tampa, and this is per TripAdvisor. This is 2.6-mile waterfront. It is a walkway, and it's lined with stunning, beautiful views. It has some unique attractions and some dining options. We took a leisurely stroll along the river while enjoying the views. The views were... they were quite nice. Mm-hmm. I did enjoy it. It was, you know, the city skyline, the boats were passing through. And along the way, there was these various art installations. I don't know how to describe them, but they were done by locals, you could tell. Mm-hmm. Public parks were dotted along the way, and there were historic landmarks. The Riverwalk is also close to popular tourist spots, such as the Florida Aquarium and the Tampa Museum of Art. There are boats you can hop on for a ride along the river.
So when you think about the Tampa Riverwalk, how would you compare it to San Antonio's Riverwalk?
San Antonio is right down the middle of downtown San Antonio. So
yeah, but this was also right down the middle of downtown
but
Tampa.
The waterway, yeah, but the waterways were so much larger and
it seemed more open. Yep.
And the San Antonio Riverwalk was a canal. It was just like this canal, and it had on both sides, you could walk on either side.
Yeah, I thought there was a lot more to experience in San Antonio.
I thought so too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I mean,
and it was very much geared towards eating and dining. There was amphitheaters along the way
in San Antonio. Yeah. Yep.
So it was very entertaining.
Yeah.
It was a very entertaining. Tampa Bay Riverwalk is more of the scenic, relaxing, gliding down the walkway and just enjoying that to me.
It was still nice to experience, nice to see.
Yeah.
And on the walk back toward the hotel, we did pass by Amalie Arena, which is where the Anaheim Ducks would be playing later that evening. And it is Amalie Arena that's home to the NHL's Tampa Bay Lightning. Named after the Amalie Oil Company, this multipurpose indoor arena hosts a variety of events such as concerts and basketball games. They can seat about 20,000 people, and it's one of the largest arenas in the state of Florida. So as we were walking back during the afternoon, we decided, hey, let's stop in now to pick up our hockey pucks before the crowds would arrive. And that is one of the things that we do on these trips is we typically pick up a hockey puck, and that's our memento from every single arena. So,
yes. And so, when you say we,
myself and our son. And
No, I was the one that generated that idea. You were just
to stop in midday.
Yes,
yeah.
Yes.
No, that was turned out to be a fantastic idea because once the arena opens up for the game, the shops inside get really crowded. Mm-hmm. And so when we walked in mid-afternoon, there was maybe not even 10 people in the store,
yeah,
in the team store.
Yeah, it was awesome.
Yeah. So With pucks in hand, we decided it was time to get back to the hotel, hoping we would get that early check-in.
Let's make this clear. The hotel's check-in time did say it was no earlier than...
Well, it was a 5 p.m., right?
No, it was earlier than that.
Must have been 4 p.m. Yeah. It was on the later side.
So it was 4 p.m. I remember that now. It was 4 p.m. And so we were heading back to the hotel, and it was pretty darn close to 4 p.m. It was maybe 3. I think we had about an hour.
At least an hour to kill.
Yeah, and we were thinking, you know, oh, somebody's had to have checked out. We're going to get this room.
And we were tired.
We were exhausted.
Yeah. Because we were at this point, we would have been up since Friday morning. So this was now approaching, what, at least 36 hours. Yeah. Ish, right?
That and we've let's been not up. Forget, we still had to eat dinner, and we had a hockey game to get to.
Yes, yes.
So, lo and behold, we step into the lobby, and you go up, and you ask, is our room ready? And to my utter surprise, they said no.
Not yet.
Yes. I, at that point, being so very tired, was a little annoyed. Now, I realize it said 4 p.m., but there was a false hope that was given out by the staffs thinking that maybe we would get in early. So that was pretty disappointing. So then we wait.
In the lobby. So we found a couch or something to crash on.
We didn't crash sleep. We just sat there and waited.
Yeah.
And I was watching my clock like a hawk and waiting for somebody to get up and say our room is ready or that 4 o'clock mark hits. And I was ready to pounce.
Yes. And while we're sitting there, we are watching. I mean, obviously, people had been checking out of the hotel. And now we're starting to see people check in and be given keys to go to their room.
Yeah.
One couple comes
before
in.
Before 4 o'clock,
yes.
By the way.
Other people come in. Another couple comes in. There's this parade of people coming in. They're getting up to their rooms. And I would go up occasionally and say, is our room ready? And so one thing that... maybe was a kink, I don't know. We had requested a room with, I think it was like 2 king beds or something. So I don't know if we had an atypical room, but whatever.
Don't tell me they had one room with 2 king beds.
I'm sure that this was a huge hotel. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then, Julie, it was 4 o'clock.
It was 4 o'clock. I jumped up off the sofa and I walked myself on over and I said, is our room ready? And I got no.
Not yet.
It is now 4 o'clock.
Yeah.
So this is the time I was just like, this is not acceptable.
Yeah.
And and they knew it too. They knew we were irritated.
We were sitting in there hour and a half, 2 hours or so before we got to our room. And our room wasn't made available until quite a bit after official check-in time. And I think by the time we got in, we just had a few minutes to change.
It was just change and get out because we had to go eat dinner.
Do we have even like 10 minutes to lie down or something?
We didn't even lie down. Mm. It was just we had to get ready to go.
Okay.
You know, I mean, I think we kind of kicked our feet up for a few minutes.
Yeah.
But so I just bucked it up. I was just like, okay, we're going to a game. This will probably give me some energy, perk me up, get excited for the game. And it did. I mean, I was okay, but...
But we did walk away, at least I walked away with a learning moment, and partly because we've never done the red eye before.
Right.
And that would be that if you do have a red eye experience, a flight, the city that you're flying into, if you're going to be checking into a hotel, find one that does have an earlier than normal check-in, I think would be the recommendation.
Yeah.
And this particular hotel, it actually had one of the later check-in times we've ever experienced.
Yeah. Yeah.
So... my fault, I guess, for not catching that up front when I made the reservation, although I did try to solve for that with a phone call before we arrived, though that didn't work out as I had hoped.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So finally checked into our hotel. We changed from our travel clothes into our Anaheim Ducks jerseys and headed out of the hotel with the hope that we would find a place to have some beer, have a bite to eat. We mentioned earlier when we were out walking in the city and coming back from getting our hockey pucks at Amalie Arena, we did walk by a place called the Yard House, which we
thought was right next to the arena.
Yeah, very close. Mm. And we thought, hey, we would stop there before the game. By the time we got there, because of this whole late check-in thing,
packed.
The place was, yeah, completely packed. There wasn't a table to be had, so there wasn't going to be dinner. When we walked in and asked what the wait time was, we wouldn't be able to get a table until after the hockey game started.
Yeah.
So dinner wasn't going to happen. We did get beer.
We went out to the bar area on the outside, and we got a beer. And even that was standing room only.
Yep.
And
amongst everybody there, Tampa Bay Lightning jerseys on. I think we were the only ones at that bar, I believe, with the opposing team jerseys.
I don't remember.
Yeah. So they were Tampa Bay Lightning proud there. We had our beer, then walked a few blocks to find a restaurant, and we were able to get a bite to eat. One thing that's nice about this area near the Tampa Bay Lightning's arena, because you are in downtown, there are lots of restaurants, lots of bars. So as long as you get to a place with ample time, and I would say at least 2 hours before game time, you have lots to choose from. Mm-hmm. And then, Julie, it was time for the game.
Okay, so here we are in the arena. It was a nice arena.
Mm-hmm.
I really thought it was huge, first of all. But it was nice. I think it was laid out really nice.
Nice atmosphere for the game.
The Lightning fans were great. They were excited.
They had reason.
There was a few Anaheim Duck fans there. You know, we'd give our little high five as we walked by, and they had reason
to be excited. Yes.
Yes, because
they won.
They won.
Yeah, so our team was not victorious that evening.
No, but it was a good game, though.
Yeah, good time. We had a good game. And the evening we were there on the walk back, it was so cold.
It was freezing.
It was
so cold.
Yeah, I didn't expect Tampa would be as cold as it was that night.
Yeah, it was. It was really cold.
We hurried back because we walked from the hotel to the arena. Mm-hmm. And then we walked back in the late evening. And at this point, I was so excited. I think all of us were excited to know that we were going to get to a bed and get ourselves
some sleep. Sleep, yes, finally. And we did. We did get a nice sleep that evening and got up in the morning, and we were ready for some breakfast. And down in the main lobby, they did have a hotel breakfast that was actually included in the stay. So that was nice. And then it was Sunday, and we have an obligation for us to go to Mass. So we had scoped out a church to go to, which was the Sacred Heart Catholic Church, and it was just a few blocks away from the hotel, which was really nice. I love it when you can just walk to something. And this church is an iconic landmark in downtown Tampa. It has been a place of worship and spiritual refuge for over a century. So it's an older church, and it's very nice to know that it was preserved. It's Gothic style. It was built in 1905, and it has been the mainstay in the Tampa skyline ever since 1905. It's a beautiful church inside, quiet, lovely atmosphere. I enjoyed that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was nice.
Yeah.
So after Mass, it was time to leave Tampa. But before we leave Tampa in this discussion, we'll mention just a few additional things you can do in the city if you're visiting for a day or so like us on a sports arena adventure. And we've got two selections for you from TripAdvisor. The number one attraction is Busch Gardens, the ultimate family adventure where you can combine world-class thrill rides, live entertainment, and more than 12,000 animals, and I suspect probably get some beer as well, I would hope.
Well, yes. I would hope so, because that's the Busch Gardens I knew when I was growing up as a kid. They didn't have 12,000 animals, but they had some animals roaming. For any of you that are from Southern California, Budweiser has a plant here, and that plant used to have a place called Busch Gardens. And that's one of the places that we used to go to many times as children, you know, because my dad loved Busch Gardens.
Yeah, I think they shuttered the Busch Gardens part here, what, like the 80s, early 80s?
Oh my gosh, it was so long ago.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, too bad.
Yeah. The second selection is the Florida Aquarium. It's educational, it's fun-filled, it has so many things to do, it's probably a wonderful place for children. It's home to thousands of animals and plants. And as I said, if you do have kids and you bring them, they'll enjoy the stingray petting area or the sea trek. This is where you can wear a wetsuit to walk among the underwater inhabitants and explore the coral caves. I would love to do that.
Yeah, so lots of fun things to do in Tampa.
Yeah. So with that, we left Tampa. But this wasn't the only adventure we were having in Florida. That lasted just over 24 hours, and off we go, and we get into our rental car, and we start our drive to the eastern side of the state of Florida. The next stop is Sunrise, that is near Fort Lauderdale, as we had some tickets for a Florida Panthers hockey game against our beloved Southern California Anaheim Ducks. This would be close to a five-hour road trip, and it was a lot of rain along the way.
Yep. Initially, when planning this trip, I thought we might be able to schedule some kind of outdoor thing to do between Tampa and the Fort Lauderdale area. One of the options that's available is they have those boat rides, kind of like those Everglade-type rides. But given when we were there, the weather was cold, the weather was really rainy, plus we had the super long drive, that just didn't turn out as a thing we were able to schedule. Which brings me to a point is, like, if you're doing a multi-city visit between more than one sports arena like we did on this trip, it could make it somewhat difficult to drop in extra things to do, especially if you have games that are back-to-back or with just one day in between, but you've got a lot of distance to cover from one stadium to another.
And we had a time limit. We're doing it on a weekend, basically.
Yeah, three-day weekend.
Yeah, and just trying to get all of this scrunched into a three-day weekend because we had to get back and watch grandchildren.
Yeah, and so as the drive was fairly long, we did need to get some food for lunch along the way. And wherever we were around lunchtime, there weren't hardly any options other than McDonald's. And you and I can't remember last time we were in a McDonald's for food. It's been a long time. And
the last time I actually remember is I think I was pregnant with our daughter, which was our first child.
Oh my gosh, decades.
That's right? The last time I remember.
Yeah, and we may have mentioned this, I'm sure we have on prior episodes. We are pescatarian, so we don't eat meat, but they did have at the McDonald's, they had the Filet-O-Fish sandwich, so we thought we would get that, and we did get that.
Which, when I was pregnant with our daughter, I remember that's what I ate.
Mm-hmm.
So
Decades ago?
I think that's really ironic. And I also remember eating it when I was pregnant and saying, wow, this is really good. Yeah. So what happened?
So what was your impression this time when you had the Filet-O-Fish?
It was like eating cardboard. There was no flavor. It was horrifying.
It was like not food. It was weird. It was strange. Needless to say, I don't think we're going to be going back to McDonald's anytime soon.
Never. Forget it. I'm done.
Yeah, when there's other options.
Yeah.
Finally did get ourselves to Sunrise, and once we landed there, we did have a wonderful check-in experience at the hotel there. We stayed at the Fairfield Inn and Suites by Marriott, and it was such a refreshing change of pace to check into that hotel versus our Tampa experience. And we found a nearby spot. I don't remember the name, but we had a place for dinner, beer, and it was a nice end of that travel day evening. Mm-hmm. And then we would start to get ready to experience hockey the next day. Yes. But before we talk about that hockey...
That was an early game.
Yeah. Before we talk about the next hockey adventure or the next hockey game, let's talk about just a couple of things you can do if you're in the Fort Lauderdale area for a quick turnaround like us.
The first number one on TripAdvisor is Sawgrass Mills. It's the largest outlet and retail shopping destination in the United States. Holy smokes. You'll find more than 350 stores, including outlet locations from Calvin Klein, some big name clothing designers, and many retailers that are more what they call value or discounted retailers. At the Colonnade Outlets at Sawgrass Mill, They offer over 70 exclusive luxury brand outlets not found anywhere else in South Florida.
The second popular thing to do in the Fort Lauderdale area is the Dower Museum of Classic Cars, where you can travel back in time for an immersive experience of America's stunning car history. You'll find lots of cars and memorabilia, and that's a nice blast from the past, another thing you can do in the area.
Yeah, that's always fun.
Yeah. So for this next game, again, this was part of a three-day weekend. This turned out to be a Monday game, and because it was a holiday weekend in the United States, it was a 1 p.m. game, so we arrived early in the parking lot. Initially, I thought that we'd have time to walk over to that Sawgrass Mills area and find a place for beer. And I think it was the day before I had scoped out, there was also a Yard House at this area, but they weren't going to open until close to game time. Mm. And I remember thinking, surely on a three-day weekend, knowing that there was going to be thousands of people showing up to the arena within walking distance, they would have earlier hours to accommodate all the people who would love to go to the Yard House for beers before the game. But when I called them up, they said, nope, regular hours. So there would be no beers for us at the Yard House. Instead, we had beers that we picked up, I think our son picked up at the store the night before. And we kind of did the tailgate-ish thing.
Guinness. They were Guinness.
We had our Guinness, blasted the Led Zeppelin in the car. And we mentioned while Tampa was super cold, when we got to the Fort Lauderdale area, completely different experience. Warm, humid.
Humid, so humid.
So we were sitting there in the car, blasting the air conditioner. Had our Guinness.
This is hours before the game.
The other thing was, when we pulled into the parking lot, again, we got there kind of early because we thought we were going to walk to Sawgrass Mills. And I think one of the reasons we didn't was the weather. It was just like ridiculously humid.
Yeah.
When we drove in, there was nobody there taking money for parking. So we were just able to drive in. And at one point, we saw official people walking in the parking lot. And I asked you to go out and ask somebody, who do we pay for parking?
Yeah, because we were worried. And the lady, she was a really nice lady, but she kind of looked at me and cocked her head oddly and said, just park there. That's fine. Just park wherever
you want. Yeah, it's like, don't worry about it.
I'm like, okay.
So apparently, if you get to the Florida Panthers arena early enough, maybe that's a trick for not having to pay parking. I don't know. It worked out that way for us.
Mm-hmm.
And the funny thing was, we tried to pay.
Yeah.
Yeah. So before you know it, it's game time. Once the arena opened, the first thing we do is go to the game store we go to the Florida Panthers store inside, get our commemorative hockey pucks, watch the game. And I thought when we were watching the game, it ended in a tie. And I thought it was our first overtime experience at a hockey game. But I was told later by our goddaughter, who sometimes accompanies us to LA Kings and Anaheim Ducks games, mm-hmm. that I had been to an overtime game with her before.
Mm-hmm.
So anyways, we had the hockey game, overtime, and
in overtime,
our team won.
We won. Oh my gosh, it was so exciting.
So very exciting. And we had kind of just enough time after the game to rush to our car, drive to the airport, mm-hmm. and get ready for that return flight to Los Angeles. That's our latest hockey arena adventure. With this one, I believe we have 8 completed. So I think we have 24 more to go.
Mm-hmm.
And we do like a trip a year, other than we got thrown off track during the COVID era.
Mm-hmm.
This is like one of these things that if you do this, you could make it into a multi-year, probably a multi-decade experience. And we're going to tell you a few benefits of doing something like this if you've ever thought about doing every sports arena bucket list adventure of your own for the sport of your choice.
Sports arena, stadium,
yeah,
whatever your sport of choice is. So the first would be building a stronger connection with your favorite sports league. If you're visiting every sports arena or stadium of a particular sports league, it can become an incredible experience for diehard fans. You can feel more connected to the teams and the players you support, as well as the history and the traditions of that league.
Doing something like this is also a way to explore different cities and cultures. A bucket list trip to every sports arena or stadium not only involves attending games, but also exploring new cities and experiencing new things. It's a great way to broaden your horizons, see new things, and meet different people who share the same love for sports as you do.
It's a great way to collect memorabilia. For many sports fans, collecting memorabilia is a big part of their passion. Visiting every arena or stadium allows them to add unique items to their collection, such as game-worn jerseys, autographed balls, and limited edition souvenirs.
It's a way to accomplish a personal goal. For some people, visiting every sports arena in their favorite league is a personal achievement that they've always dreamed of. It's a way to challenge yourself, push your limits, while also fulfilling a long-term goal that brings satisfaction and fulfillment.
Sharing the experience with loved ones. That's my favorite part. Having that bucket list trip to visit every sports arena or stadium can be a memorable bonding experience for friends and family who share the passion for sports. It's a way to create lasting memories, strengthen relationships, and have fun together while cheering for your favorite team. And we do this with my son and our goddaughter.
Yep. So that's our latest adventure. I'm not sure where we're going to go next. I know the hockey schedule usually gets released mid-July. So when we get to mid-July this year, we'll be looking at that and trying to scope out to see what makes sense for our next hockey adventure, either late 2024 or early 2025. We'll most likely be going somewhere. And from this point forward, most of the adventures are going to be on the eastern side of the country. So we have that to look forward to.
So if you're enjoying our episodes, be sure to share our podcast with your friends who might also enjoy hearing about our travel stories. If you're not subscribing to us yet, take a minute to subscribe to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or your favorite source for podcasts and catch our future episodes.
We hope you join us on our next episode as we bring you more stories from our travel adventures.
And forgive us for all the sick sounds that might be coming through this podcast. We have been struggling mightily with some viruses, and that is why we have been struggling to get some of our content out. So we apologize for that, but hopefully we are on the mend and we're just going to keep pushing forward and get this information and our love of travel out to all of you.
Thanks for joining us on this podcast. And until next time, happy travels, and we hope to see you at the places where we go.
If you have any comments or information to share with us about travel, you can write to us at comments@theplaceswherewego.com.
You can also follow us on social media. We're on Instagram as The Places Where We Go. You can find us on Twitter as The Places Where One, the number one. And you can watch our travel adventures on YouTube, where our channel name is The Places Where We Go.
Thanks for joining us, and we hope to see you at the places where we go.
See you next time.
Bye now.